Okay, so today our mission is to consider a few more points about the issue of Mila and its role in Geirus, and specifically in light of today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, and how we understand the implications of that Gemara and Rishonim for the concept of Mila by Geirus. So one issue that we find is the question of the bracha on Geirus, and the bracha on Mila specifically, that today's daf tells us that the bracha that is recited on a Mila, is the Mila of a Ger, is actually twofold. There are two brachas recited, one before and one after. And the thrust of the bracha is Lomul es Hagerim, which is itself important. The question of whether you should make the bracha on the phrase Lamul or Alhamila is an issue that the Rishonim take up. But also the question of whether indeed we recite two brachos, as the Gemara seems to have it, or is there a girsa issue, as other Rishonim have it, and really there should be one bracha. So that itself was a machlokas. So the Gemara here has a two brachos. That's also how the Ramban and the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch all have it, of two brachos recited on the Mila of the Ger. And other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, have a different girsa, where the Ran has this as well, that there's only one bracha recited. So what's the issue? Why would there be one bracha or two brachos? The cast of Mishnah understands the Rambam's limiting it to one bracha, that essentially it is not a Berchas HaMitzvah, and we saw from day one that this Gemara was important towards that question of what is the mitzvah of Geirus and who is the mitzvah on, etc., etc. So here the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam's view to be that this is a Berchas HaShavach, that this is not a bracha on the mitzvah of Mila, or the mitzvah of Milas Geirim, rather it's a bracha praising God on the occasion, and therefore it's appropriate for it to be afterwards. While others assume that there is a machlokas about this. So, for example, we mentioned yesterday the Lutzke Rav in his commentary to Chumash, was Naim LaTorah. He also has a sefer of halachic essays in Shilas and Shuvas called the Maznaim LaMishpat, and in that sefer he discusses that the view of the Ramban, which we'll say more about, seems to be that the reason you would have a bracha before and after is because this is a Berchas HaMitzvah in the classical sense, that there is a mitzvah here that is being recited, and that's where we find the appropriateness of a bracha beforehand. My friend Rabbi Gottlieb, in a sefer at Taras Yaakov, so he points out that if this is the case, that the Rambam is saying it's a Berchas HaShavach afterwards, and the Ramban is saying it's a Berchas HaMitzvah as well, that this would seem to be L'shitasam, this would seem to be consistent with the views that we've seen so far as the role of Mila in the process. Right? That we saw that the Rambam was with those other Rishonim who maintained that Mila is not really a part of the Geirus process, it's a prerequisite for Geirus, that we can't have Geirus with an RL, it would be like Tovel v'Sharetz Biyado, but it's not itself part of the Geirus, so that would explain why it shouldn't have its own Berchas HaMitzvah, while the Ramban was the one who held that you could have the order switched, it doesn't necessarily have to be only Mila first and then Tefillah, because Mila and Tefillah were two halves of the Geirus process. So if it's a part of the Geirus process, so then perhaps we could understand why it gets its own bracha, how exactly it fits in as far as that's concerned. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik actually points out in his shiurim that were recorded in the Sefer, in the shiurim that are in the Sefer that Rav Shurkin put together, all of Shirim of the Rav, Harei Kedem. He has a discussion there where he notes that the Ramban over here on the Daf and Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Ramban, if you read it carefully, you see that really there are three possibilities that emerge as far as what the picture that's being painted here. That the Ramban discusses this phrasing of Lomul Esagerim instead of Alhamila. So from one perspective that the Ramban quotes, it seems like it's saying there is a mitzvah on the one doing the Mila, which is a part of our whole initial discussion about the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Gerim, or the Hechsha mitzvah here. So there's a mitzvah on the one doing it. The Ramban also quotes an idea of it being a mitzvah on the Ger, that he has, as if he is coming to perform his own mitzvah, to be circumcised l'shem Gerus. And the third perspective, that it is a Berchas HaShavach, the view that the Kesef Mishnah associated with the Rambam. So Rav Soloveitchik noted that if you read through the whole Ramban, you could find hints of all three of those possibilities in the message of this bracha, that they're all perhaps a viable reading of what exactly the Ramban is trying to convey to us. So this idea that the Ger may also be the one who the bracha is representing, it's because he has the mitzvah on himself. So that brings up a question that Poskim discuss. What if he would literally do it on himself? Could the Ger perform the Bris Milah on himself? Or does it have to be from somebody else? Is it possible for the Ger to do the Milah for himself? So this is an issue that was raised by the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Beis, in the Mitzvah of Mila, where it's primarily talking about the Mila of a baby, but he also discusses briefly the Mila of a Ger. So there the Minchas Chinuch says that it's clear to him that the Ger should not do the Mila on himself. However, he says, if he did do the Mila on himself, so then it's possible it might be good, especially according to the view that the Rama quotes, which is the view of the Ramban that we just mentioned, that b'di'eved, you could have tvila before mila. Right? We saw that was a machlokas rishonim in both Deyas Abrot, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. So if you could have tvila before mila, so then if you had the tvila ready, and then the Ger did the Mila on himself, so then that could be valid, at least b'di'eved, and he says you wouldn't require a Hatafas Dam Bris, because of a notion that we find in other areas of Halacha, that sometimes two things can happen at once, meaning that presumably the Mila has to be performed by a Jew, and this Ger is not yet a Jew. So if he was going to do the Mila on himself, that would be a disqualification in Hilchus Mila. But if he's already had the Tvila, so now the Mila is the last part of the process, so then it's possible to say that his Judaism and his Mila come at the same time. That he becomes a Jew at the same time as he performs this Mila, and therefore it is valid at least after the fact. And this is something that you find in Halacha in a few places, if we want to follow the analogy. It's most well known in the context of Gittin, that there's an interesting concept there, that when a man gives his wife a get, so the question is, how can she accept the get if, until she's divorced, she's married? And when she's married, so her yad is the same as her husband's yad, whatever she acquires, her husband acquires as well. So you would think that whatever the husband gives his wife basically bounces back to him as far as ownership. So if he's got to give her the get, so then how does that work? So we have this idea of gita v'yada bain ke'echar, that her independence to acquire something on her own comes at the same time as her get comes. So she receives the get and she becomes independent, and that's what allows her to receive it. It happens simultaneously. And as you can imagine, this is a topic of great appeal to Lamdanim. There's a lot of analysis to be made about this point. If Shlomo Fisher has a whole essay about this in the Beis Yishai, there's a lot to discuss, but the Minchas Chinuch alludes to this idea and says, for that reason, he thinks that the Ger could be Mol himself, at least b'di'evet, and at least if he had the tefillah beforehand, because his Judaism comes at the same time as his Mila comes. Tyler?
Yeah, the Ramah we just quoted a moment ago, who said you can have tefillah before Mila, I mean, he quoted, I think, the Ramban.
Right.
And then he says that, would that work also according to the Rambam or no?
So the Rambam, it's harder because the Minchas Chinuch is saying it's totally on that issue, and the Rambam doesn't allow that. The Rambam, at least the way his implications are, is in the camp with the Ritva and others who say that the Seder is Ma'akev. So if the Seder is Ma'akev, so then he's not Jewish at that point. And that would seem to be an issue. Should be a problem overall. But what the Menchas Chinuch is being Mechadesh here is that even though he needs to be Jewish, but maybe we could say that his Judaism and his Mila come at the same time. And that should work. And in the journal Tchumen, in Chelek Yud Ches, there's an article there by Gad Eldad, who we quoted on the first day. He has an article there about the mitzvah of Kabbalas Geirim. So there he supports the Minchas Chinuch. He says this Ramban and today's Daf Yomi also is a support for the Minchas Chinuch, because what the Ramban is conveying about the mitzvah of Mila possibly being the Ger's mitzvah. So that also is a part of the puzzle. If it's his own mitzvah, so then that could be a support to this idea that theoretically he may be able to perform it himself. So this was a discussion. There is a tshuva about this, and the tshuva is Tshuva Shlema, in Simba Lamed Vav, by Reb Chaim Fishel Epstein, where he brings up this question as well. Is it possible for the Ger to do his own Mila? And ultimately, he disagrees with the Menchas Chinuch. And he has a number of technical reasons to distinguish between the get model, where we say Gita V'yada Bayin Ke'achad, and the idea that you could say Milaso V'yaduso Bayin Ke'achad. He doesn't think they're comparable. And there are a lot of technical distinctions. First of all, it gets into the question of when a woman receives a get, is that really coming from Hilchos Kinyanim? Or is it coming from a different kind of standard? There's a Ketos HaChoshen and others who talk about this. Maybe it's just all get-related. But more to the point, he suggests that Geirus and the Mila is all a longer process. And that if we require Mila to be done by somebody who is himself Jewish, so then you have the whole time of the Mila taking place, and then its result at the end. So he would only become Jewish at the end, and then the cut was all happening from somebody who wasn't Jewish. So for that reason, and other reasons, he concludes against the Minchas Chinuch, and he says that this is not going to work, that for the Mila to happen through the Ger himself is not an option. It's an interesting theoretical question, that if we do want to associate back to the Mila of Avraham Avinu, so it's a good question that Mefarshim and Chumash take up, who performed the Mila of Avraham Avinu? Right, was it somebody else, or was it him himself? So that's just an interesting theoretical question to consider. If we're looking back to that model, it's possible that maybe Avraham Avinu maybe was actually himself the one doing the Mila. Okay, so just to add a few more points, so that's also a question. If we look at the mitzvah of Mila and we look at the Mila of Geirus, is there any kind of differentiation between the two? There's some discussion whether the concept of Zeriza and Makdim in the mitzvos applies the same way, that we know that when it comes to a bris Mila, so we have to do it early in the day, and we do it at the first opportunity. And when it's a Mila Shalom Bezmana, if it's a Mila not on the eighth day, so then it was a whole discussion in the Achronim. But the assumption is that we also try to get that at the earliest opportunity. And Machlokas Rishonim, whether there is a Chi of Kares for a Mila Shalom Bezmana, how that's counted. Is that every minute that you delay? Is there a an extra level of onesh. So that was a whole discussion in the Achronim, the urgency that comes for a mila shelo bizmana. So there was a discussion in Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Tshuva Simra Yosher and others about whether that's the same standard for a mila of a ger. And part of the question is the Shach in Hilchus Geris and Hilchus Mila. The Shach quotes the Tashbetz that a bris shelo bizmana and a mila of a ger shouldn't happen too close to Shabbos, because of the concern that that will lead to Chilul Shabbos in the healing process. And then there are those who don't accept this psak. The Shach himself doesn't accept it, and the question whether there's a distinction that maybe a baby boy, Mila Shelo Bizmana, is more urgent than a Mila of Geiris. So that's itself one of the discussions as far as if there is a difference to be drawn. Also a question of the issue of Kavana. So do we require kavana in Mila? So the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Yerideya in Simen Shin, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he says that specifically when it comes to Geirus, you do need kavana, because that is the act of Geirus, that is the act of bringing him into Judaism, and therefore that requires intent. So this actually is a major issue in Poskim. This is something that was discussed at great length by many Sfarim, Mishaelis, and Shuvas. I'll give you a long list if you want to look them up, of the question of what happens if you have a Milas Ger that was not done with the awareness that it's for the purpose of Mila. So, for example, it could happen if you have a baby that's born to a couple where the father is Jewish and the mother is not. And there's an extensive discussion in Poskim in general, if you know about that, whether a mohel should participate in the mila of such a baby. But let's say the mohel doesn't know. So he assumes it's a Jewish baby, and he gives that baby a bris like he would to any other Jewish baby, boy. So, and then later on, the issue was brought up that he wasn't Jewish. So then he wants to convert this boy. They want to put him through a geiris. So does he need a new mila, or a hatafas dam bris, rather? Or do we say, no, he had the mila, but the mila was done l'shem mila, but it wasn't done l'shem geiris? Is that an issue? Or you have a situation where you have, like we've also mentioned in day one, one of the situations where we would be more encouraging of Geiris, if you have somebody who lived a Jewish life his whole life and only found out later on that there is a suffix that maybe his mother wasn't Jewish. So this is somebody who had a bris mila in childhood. So now he needs to go through a conversion. So does he need to have another hatafas dam bris? Or do we say that the mila that he had in his childhood was sufficient? So as I mentioned, this is a suffix a number of posts can deal with. Rav Soloveitchik and his shiurim that Rabbi Reichman wrote up, the Rishima Shiurim to Yavamos. So he has a suffix about this as well. And his initial instinct is to connect this to Rashi. Rashi in Yavamos, the very beginning of the Geiris Gemara is over there in Daf Mem Hei, where the Gemara says that the Eved of Rav Chia was Tovel, a woman, for the purposes of relations. And the Gemara says that it could be that we can count her as a Jew as well. And the Gemara says, because of Ravasi's statement, because she's going to go to the mikveh for her nidus. So Rashi discusses what exactly that means. So according to one version that Rashi quotes, it could be that even though the tefillah that she's going to have is for the purpose of nida, it's not for the purpose of geiris, but it could still count for geiris. So Rav Soloveitchik considers, okay, maybe that shows you that mila and tefillah, you could have a process that isn't necessarily for the purpose of geiris, but it's for the purpose of halacha, and therefore it could count for the geiris. Now, that view in Rashi is itself complicated, and the Rambam disagrees, as Rosh Soloveitchik notes. But then he goes on to say that maybe we could be mechalik between Mila and Tfila, that maybe Tfila would have to be L'shem Geirus, but maybe Mila less so. And that goes to the question we've been discussing, that maybe Mila isn't really the Geirus, but maybe Mila is the prerequisite for Geirus. So maybe that's itself a reason to distinguish. And it's also noteworthy, the whole role, again, to look back to the daf here. So the bracha that the Gemara says to recite on the Mila, so the Gemara mentions the hatafas dam, the drawing of the blood, as a part of the bracha. And the Meiri raises the question, why is it that when you have a meal on a baby boy, so the hatafas dam is not incorporated into the bracha? And that it's specifically here, in the context of Geirus, that we find the hatafas dam incorporated into the bracha. And the Meiri quotes an explanation that it's specifically in the context of Geirus that we need it, because it is that creates the bris. That when you have a Jewish baby, so he enters into Kedushas Yisrael because he's born to a Jewish mother. But when you have a ger, it is the bris that is bringing that about together with the tefillah. So therefore, the hatafas dam bris gets its own mention within the bracha. Rav Asher Weiss in a Sefer on Chumash, so he notes also, you could explain that based on the view of the Achiezer that we discussed yesterday. Rav Asher himself didn't fully accept the view of the Achiezer, but he said this could explain this statement in the Meiri. The Achiezer had maintained that somebody who was in a situation of sakana cannot become Jewish without the bris, because even though a Jewish baby would be exempt from the bris because of the sakana, but the gerus requires the bris in order to enter into Judaism. So that's what this bracha is conveying, that is also a part of the process. So that idea that the hatafas dam bris itself is a part of the gerus, this was also a discussion in the Tshuvas Lev Aryeh. We've mentioned a few times, he has a number of tshuvas on Geirus. So this might be the last one. Well, there's a few tshuvas on Geirus. But in Siman Yud, the Tshuvas Lev Aryeh brings up the question of Hatafas Dam Bris and how exactly it fits in. That under the situations that we find, let's say if somebody is Nolad Mohol, or if he had a circumcision in his non-Jewish state, so in order to have Geirus, we require to have Hatafas Dam Bris, even though we saw it's a Machlokas Rishonim, but essentially that's a policy out of Safek, right? That out of Safek, and that's why we don't make a bracha on it, but we have a Hatafas Dam Bris for such an individual. So he raises the question, is this something that has to follow the same rules as Mila does for Geirus? Does it have to be in front of a Beis Din? We saw that was a machlokes, right? Whether Mila for Geirus has to be in front of Beis Din. But if it does, so does the Hatafas Dam Bris also have to be? So here he connects that to the question, same question we've been talking about throughout, whether Mila is a part of the Geirus or is it a prerequisite to the Geirus? If it's a prerequisite to the Geirus, so then this really is all just a chumrah, because the individual is not an Oral anyway, and it shouldn't really be subject to the rules of Geirus itself. But if the idea is that Mila is indeed a part of the Geirus process, so then it could be that Hatafas Dam Bris is occupying the role of Mila, and that's indeed how many understood, that because we need to have a Mila, without the possibility of Mila, we have to have the Hatafas Dam Bris, and therefore it would be more subject to the rules of Geirus and Mila, including that it should be in the daytime and it should be in the presence of Beis Din L'Chadchila, and that the order should be maintained. You know, the question of whether you could have Hatafas Dam Bris after the Mila, which is a very practical one, because especially if the question only comes up later on, like the scenarios we described. So an individual had gone through the Geirus already, so he already had the tefillah, so would there be a need to have the tefillah done again afterwards? So, l'chadchila, it seems pretty clear, the Rambam says explicitly that hatafas dan bris also should be done before the tefillah. And we mentioned the other day, as Rabbi Reis reported, that it doesn't require 2 to 4 weeks. In that case, it requires a few minutes. But still, we go through that process of having that happen first. That's clearly l'chadchila. Question of whether maybe b'di'evid you could reverse the order, so that remains a suffix, but it all plugs into this question of what exactly is the role of Mila in Geirus, and consequently how exactly does Hatafas Dan Bris fill that role. Okay, so I think that'll be where we'll stop for the whole discussion of Mila. Again, it's possible we may have a few points that we'll decide to add later on, but that notwithstanding, we'll move on tomorrow to Tefillah, Be'ez Hashem. We'll just quickly recap what we spoke about, but everything clear? Everything makes sense? Everybody with me? Okay, so just to quickly recap what we spoke about and our focus on today's Daf Yomi. So there the Gemara says, the end of Perek Reblazi Demila, Shabbos Kuflamet Zayin, the discussion of what bracha to recite on Milas Geirim, and a question in Gersa whether it's one bracha or two brachos, and that lines up to a difference in Rishonim, the Rambam having one bracha, the Kesef Mishnah understanding it's a Berachas HaShavach, the Moznayim LeMishpat pointing out that according to the Ramban it seems to be a Berachas HaMitzvah, the Ataris Yaakov pointing out that that could be L'shitasam, as far as how Mila fits into the Geirus, and Rav Soloveitchik and Shirim and Hari Kedem noting that really the Ramban yields three possible understandings of the role of Mila. It's the mitzvah on the Bezdin, it's a mitzvah on the Geir himself, and it is a Berachas HaShavach. So the idea of it being a mitzvah on the Geir himself, Moshe, you have a question?
Yeah, just I'm sorry, it's rough. What was Ramban? I read it inside a little bit, but the Ramban's like, the Rav says you can get three possibilities. What was his basic idea, though, like that he writes about?
Because the Ramban basically goes through them all. If you read his language carefully, you see that he considers the possibility that it's a mitzvah on the Ger, and he considers also the possibility that it's a mitzvah on the Mo'ol, who's representing the Bezdin, and the idea that it is a Shevach on Kedushas Yisrael, in the comparison to, let's say, Berachas Chasanim. So he mentions that also.
And he says one bracha or two?
So the Ramban has it as two. Yeah, so it's good to take a look at it again. You'll see where he has all those possibilities. So the idea that it represents the Ger himself, that's also relevant to a practical question. So Maisa, what if the Ger does do the Mila on himself? Is that valid? Minchas Chinuch says for sure he shouldn't do that. But if he does it, especially if you say that you could reverse the order according to those Rishonim, which is an open machlokas still, as the Rama notes. So if you could reverse the order and you had the tefillah first, so then it is possible that b'di'evet it's okay, because of the idea that we find elsewhere in halacha that two things can happen at once in halacha, and gita v'yada b'ayin ke'achad, so therefore it would be acceptable. And Rai was brought that article in Tchumen from this Ramban again to make that point. But in the Tshuva Shlema, he ultimately disagrees and says there's a difference technically between that sugya and this. And even though Gita B'yadabayin Ke'achar, we cannot say, against the Minchas Chinuch, we cannot say that his Judaism and his Mila come at the same time. And practically speaking, that's not going to work. And then we discussed also other possible differences between Mila of a baby boy and Mila of a ger, question of Zriz and Makdim LeMitzvahs, whether that's different, and the question of Kavana, and the very practical suffix in Poskim extensively discussed about what happens if you had a Mila that was not done l'shem geirus, and now we see that a geirus is necessary. The mole didn't know that this was, well, maybe no one knew, or at least the mole didn't know that this was not a Jewish baby at the time. So is that a problem? A very practical question. Rav Soloveitchik discusses whether that can be compared to a Rashi regarding tevila, and even if you disagree with that position, maybe there's a difference between mila and tevila, because of this whole discussion, again, as the role of mila in the process might be different than tevila. So that was also a discussion. And then we talked a little bit about Hatafas Dan Bris, about the Meiri making note that the Daf has Hatafas Dan Bris incorporated into the bracha, and that's not something we find by a regular bris of a baby. So why is that the case? And as he explains, if this is because the baby boy is born Jewish, here this is a part of what brings him into Judaism, and therefore requires a different kind of focus. And also that brings up the question, as was discussed in the Lev Aryeh, without really much of a resolution, but is the Hatafas Dan Bris essentially treated like the Mila in the Geirus process? Is it subject to all the same rules, at least L'chadchila, of being in front of Beis Din, of being specifically before the tevila? And it certainly seems l'chadchila it is. The question really, whether b'diavad there is a latitude, and that goes back again to the question of where mila fits in, and consequentially where Hatafas Dan Bris accomplishes the role of the mila. Okay, so with that, so we should be ready to jump into the mikvah. So look forward to that tomorrow. And I wish you all a meaningful beginning of the 9 days. It should be the last time we have to have this state of Avelis for Klal Yisrael. And we shall be zeichet to a Geula Shleima, the Karv B'Yameinu. Okay, we'll see you soon.